Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Have you ever looked at someone and thought, they could be so good, but there's just something about them that's just letting them down? My boss is good, but sometimes he's just... My brothers and sisters are great. Sometimes they can be a bit. My pastors are great. They're great. My parents are great. But my kids are great. But there's just always something about that but that just lets people down, that they just have to deal with that but. And sometimes we hear about conversations about the great things people are doing, which is all amazing. But there's just that little something that if they just dealt with it, it would cause it to be so much more effective. So today I feel like the Lord wants us to deal with that but. Some of us tend to overlook those things because of the things that we can do well kind of make up for that. So let's look at ourselves even. Sometimes we think we're amazing despite those things, but today I want to look at those things. Because too often we could have too much of our flesh and too much of ourselves and the same problems and cycles that we face. And sometimes we justify it by saying, this is who I am, this is how the Lord made me. And that allows us to be settled and comfortable in who you are. So when it comes to what God is doing in my life or through me, I find myself getting in the way all the time. I remember when I was younger, I was learning how to do preaching, ministry, all these things. And people kept saying to me, James, you're almost there, but you just got to deal with some things. And I was so passionate. I was like, no, I'm good. Like, I know what I'm doing. But then that was a result of frustration in my life. That was a result of pride in my life because I thought I could do better. But then I had insecurities at the same time that I tried to look better than what I was. And all these things that kept coming up in my life, but it all boiled down to one root issue, which is I thought I wasn't good enough. So despite all the promises that the Lord gave me, despite all the things that the Lord wanted me to do, I found myself going through the same thing over and over again. And every time I get to a place where I could just touch it, I end up finding myself getting in the way again. So that was my butt that I had to deal with. And unless I looked at it in the eye and dealt with it, I was going to continue to go through the same cycle. So today, I believe the Lord is saying that we need to be called to grow and to learn new things. And I was asking the question, I said, God, what is it that we need to do in order to get out of this? And he said, you need to renew your mind. It comes down to renewing your mind and understanding what the Lord is speaking into your life. And it's in that renewing that we should have evidence of growth and fruitfulness. So the title of my sermon today is We Are the Renewing Church. So we're talking about the church and the responsibility of the church this month. We heard an incredible sermon about being living stones, and not just being by ourselves, but being in a community of stones. And today, I believe we're going to go deeper to talk about the renewing church. The responsibility is of us to always be growing and renewing ourselves as a result, and having more of God and less of us. Now, I'm of the belief, now you could agree with me or disagree, but I'm of the belief that the problems we create, not face, that we create, and the challenges that we face should not be the same ones that we face in 5 or 10 years' time. If we are, then it means that we haven't dealt with something. And I've seen it in my life. When I haven't dealt with something, I see it again and again and again. And what you don't look it in the eye and deal with will continue to manifest. I have to say now these days, it's a problem delayed, it's a problem for another day. But But there's also a theory that I heard, which I agree with, called the hidden debt theory. Anything that you don't deal with, whether it's a conflict, whether it's an issue that comes up, and a conversation that should have been had, if you don't deal with it, you're actually carrying a debt that is hidden, and it will manifest at a different time or place. And not only that, it will be compounded. So let me give you an example. Let's say a person dealing with lust, he's a single man dealing with lust, doesn't deal with it. He says, if I get married, my problems will be solved. Some people think that. And then he gets married. It's all good until the problem arises again. And now it's got to deal with a significant other, a covenant, and also wrestle with these issues. So it's even greater than what he dealt with. That's just one little example there. So as Christians and as a church, we should have evidence of growth and fruitfulness. And the challenge is we could be stagnant in our lives. So today I want to explore how can we avoid this. An example I had was last year I had a meeting with my boss. He called me all sorts of names that I didn't agree with. He said I was selfish. He said that I was not a leader of leaders. He said that that I only think about myself. He said that I was not where I thought I was. And he said all these things. Now, whether I disagreed with it or not didn't matter because he said this is my perspective. So I had an option to either ignore it or actually look inside and go, what is causing him to think about this? And then for a whole year, I began to ask the Lord, what is it within me that could be transformed or renewed so that my approach could be different in my words and in my actions? So I took it all on board, spent a time with wrestling with the Lord, and then I had a meeting with him probably a month ago. And then it was a very different meeting. He actually didn't say any of those things. And he just looks at me and goes, man, you're so much more relaxed. You're so much more stable. And he knew that I had got into a relationship. And he said, I need to meet this woman of yours because she seems to have done something. But it was more than that. It was a work that God had done in my life that I was able to take on board and understand how could he renew my life. And through that, that was evidence of fruitfulness that he could see. And the thing is, it wasn't about behavior modification, but it was about transformation. So the challenge is we could be stagnant, and the way to avoid this is through renewing our minds. So today I'm going to break down the whole process of where we might be and the whole responsibility of renewing our mind. Because the truth is we cannot pray to the Lord to renew our minds. Because that is our responsibility to do that in partnership with him. So in renewing our minds, we do scriptures because we look at the truth that replaces the lies that we may speak over ourselves, that we take captive the thoughts and we look at the truth of our identity, of who God is, what he can do, and where we are in life. And then through prayer, through speaking and listening to the Lord, through praying to the Lord, through verbalizing things and listening to what he drops into your spirit. And then through worship, and by worship I mean obedience, as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we obey his commands, as we obey what he speaks to us, we begin to live a life of worship. And through that, we sing songs of worship because of who he is. And I pray for the day that our whole church is singing songs from within their spirit, not just from their head or their mouths. And also community. To live in a community where we can stand with one another and call things out of one another and take things on board. Just like my boss said, all those things, sometimes we need to say that to one another in love so that we could be in our blind spots. We can see things in one another and call each other higher. So with all those things combined, we begin to renew our minds. We begin to renew our minds. So let's turn to scripture in Romans 12. I'm going to look at also 2 Peter 1. So you've got two bookmarks. Please look at those two verses. Romans 12 and 2 Peter 1. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for what you are doing. Thank you so much that you called us as your church to be living and breathing, to be alive. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll be with us today, comforting us, guiding us, and counseling us as your word is spoken. I pray that we open up our hearts to your hand, Lord, for your work to be done in us so that we could be brought to completion, so that we could be brought to fruitfulness, Lord, as we become faithful to your word and to your ways. We give it all to you, Father, so that we could give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. So Romans 12, Paul the Apostle had just spent 11 chapters talking about the gospel, talking about who we are, that we are sinners, that the wages of sin is death, but now that we have an offering in Jesus Christ who's taken our place, that we now have life in him. And then Paul begins to say, therefore, so 11 chapters built up to this moment, this call to Christians and non-Christians alike, but mainly to Christians because he says brothers and sisters. So he's speaking to the church. He's not speaking to people outside these four walls, but to people who have heard the gospel, who have received it, and now this is the call. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Prem told me that he knows when I'm preaching when I give a lot of scriptures. It says in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So again, Peter is talking to the church. He's talking to Christians. And what I love is how it says, through our knowledge of him, the Greek word for knowledge, which is epignosis, means a deep and experiential knowledge. So it means a deep knowledge of him, an experiential knowledge of him, that you experience him relationally and in your life. So it's not just understanding who he is, but it's a deep, full, and precise knowledge of him. So as we begin to understand who he is, because he has given us everything we need for a godly life. But sometimes in our lives, we accept the gospel, we accept Jesus, and we stop there. We stop at saved. And I began to imagine like our lives as a garden. And sometimes our garden looks like this. I promise you, this is not my backyard. It's someone else's backyard. But our lives look like this. The land has been paid for. We occupy it, but it looks like this. Overgrown, not looked after. Not really good to look at. Not a place to go for a lovely walk. If anything, if I walk down that path, I'll be like, man, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to fix this, I need to chuck out the branches. But the thing is, we need to recognize the very things that we need to work on. What we acknowledge opens the door to transformation. The very first step is recognition. Renewal begins when we recognize where we've been walking in the flesh instead of the spirit. And it starts with clarity. I love what Brother Tawanda shared about clarity. It starts with clarity when God shows us what we've missed, what we've excused, or where we've grown numb. Because wherever you reject the word of God in your life, you become more numb. Whenever you ignore or excuse or justify something, you become more insensitive to the spirit. Now, if you think about this, we are spiritual beings in human bodies, right? We have a body, soul, and spirit. The way I see that it works is that physically, we are in this world, and whatever goes on in this world, whatever words are spoken, whatever happens, impacts us in the natural. And that impacts our soul, which is the way we think, the way we are, our personalities, who we are. And then that muffles our spirit. And what God wants to do is work inside out to put that back into order. So the more we feed our spirit, the more we understand the truth, and that impacts the decisions we make in our soul, which then has an outcome in the natural, in our physical bodies. So sometimes when we don't deal with the things in the physical, they begin to inform our souls through wounds, through scarring, through things that happen to us affliction, and then that begins to muffle that spirit. So that's why God says to us that we are going to be transformed. For it says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's given us the key that we need to start feeding our spirit with his truth by recognizing the very things that we need him for, by realizing the things in our lives are not of God. So as a result, we need to understand that sometimes who we are and how we operate is actually getting in the way of God. It could be our personality traits. It could be our attitudes, our attributes, our tendencies. Oh, I'm just an angry person, but that's all right. Oh, I could be a bit overbearing or passionate, but I care. But the thing is, those things get in the way of us being effective. Or let's go even deeper. It could be the hurts that we carry, the motivation or the desires. So we might think we're operating in good faith, but we don't realize that it's the hurts that we have had in the past and the wounds that we have that's informing our decisions. So we might say, I care about you, but I may keep you at a distance because I've been hurt in the past. Those things become, those things hinder us as we continue to do life with the Lord and with one another. So those things inform us. And God has called us today to renew those things, but we just have to recognize them. It could be the issues or the sins that we have or the problems that we have that are causing us to carry those burdens. And therefore, as a result, we begin to live according to those circumstances. We begin to live according to the sinful behavior that we have because we believe that that's what we need in order to feed us. And as a result, we begin to neglect the power of God. Whenever we operate in those things and continue to justify it, we're effectively saying that Jesus' power is ineffective. We say, yes, Lord, I want to offer my life to you. I want to give you everything. And then the Lord's saying, well, give me that. You're like, no, Lord, that's who I am. That's how I am. That's how you made me. But the truth is, that's how the culture has molded us. That's how we've been nurtured. But God is calling us higher today. And I really want to do something that I learned in psychology, so my counselors in the room are going to love it or hate it, I know, depending on how effective it is. But there's something called the Johari window that I've never forgotten. Do I have your approval? Yeah, beautiful, all good. So the Johari window, which is fascinating to me because it's so simple yet so effective. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is I want to kind of use this as a way to help us understand where there may be things that we do not and do recognize in us. So the first spot is the open area, which is the things that are known to others and also known to me. So for example, you know my hobbies, you know my name, you know certain traits that I exhibit to you, you know the way I speak, you know how I am, you know that I preach the word, because you can see that. And I am doing that. So these are known. This is an open area for everyone to see. And then you've got the blind spot. There may be things that I do not think about myself, but things that you think of me. So it could be, I think I'm being really honest, but you might be think that I'm being too harsh. You might think that, I might think I'm a good boss to my workers, but my workers may think something else. It's an impact on other people that I do not realize that I have. And this is why we need community, to help us be sharpened, to recognize things in us that is hindering the effectiveness of what God is doing. And then you've got the third area, which is a hidden area. These are things you do not know about me, but that I know about myself. So it could be sins, addictions, thoughts about myself. It could be certain motivations that I might have that you may not know about. So I might be nice to someone, but maybe I'm just trying to get... a good example, I'm trying to find another job. I decide to be nice to someone, to try to get to know them, but I just want them to give me a job. So those are the hidden areas. It's a facade that you put up. And those are the things that we also need to deal with ourselves or expose into the community so that we could deal with it together. And then lastly, you've got the unknown area, not known to self and not known to others. How does that work? Unknown potential. Unknown attributes that you may develop once you develop, once you deal with the other things. Sometimes things are hindering us. Once we deal with it, we actually grow in understanding of ourselves, and those things that are unknown become known. So our goal in life is to have more and more things in the open area that is appropriate to deal with, and then more and more things out of the hidden and blind spot so that we can work with those things. Now, I'm not saying you just expose everything to anything. Obviously, there's wisdom. But in that, we are recognized to the things that we need to deal with, and others are recognized to things in me that I need to deal with, and therefore we work on it together and we grow in fruitfulness and effectiveness. So that's just an example of how you can understand the things that you can recognize in yourself. Because renewal begins when we recognize where we're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. And like I said, my personal issues, I was frustrated, I was immature, I was prideful, I was insecure, and I was inconsistent because I didn't think I was good enough. But as a result, once I realized that root issue of not being good enough, I had to renew myself from that point. Sometimes the things that you are exhibiting or showing as a result of a root issue. Sometimes your addictions are a result of a root issue. Sometimes your behavior of anger or whatever it may be is a result of a root issue. And today the Lord is calling us higher to say, let us be the renewing church. To not let that thing be the same problem that hinders us, but let's deal with it today so that we can walk in faithfulness and in fruitfulness. So he says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And then there's also a passage in 1 Peter who shares, therefore with minds that are fully alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So I love how it says, minds that are alert and fully sober. I cannot get rid of the first, be sober-minded. Really understand where you're at with the Lord in every moment. It means to be fully alert to know exactly what you're doing. Fully in control, and if not in control, fully aware. To be so sober-minded that you do not build yourself up to be someone that you are not. But so sober-minded that you're dealing with the things as they come up. Saying, where did that come from? Do I need to do this? Do I need to deal with this? And some of these things will take longer than others, and that's okay. And then he also says, as obedient children, which is our worship, do not conform to the evil desires you had lived when lived in ignorance. So there's so much gold in that verse alone. And the most important thing in that passage is that with minds that are fully alert and sober, to set your mind on the grace and hope. So it's not about looking at ourselves going, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad person. I'm horrible. I'm ashamed. But it's to set your hope on the grace of Jesus and to deal with it. Because he has given us everything that we need in order to deal with it. Now, what are some examples that we have? Let's look at Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, again, Paul's talking to the church. I love this language. He says, so I tell you this and it sits on it. And it sits on it. So it means we've got to listen up. And sits on it in the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding as separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. So we can see here that, however, it's not the way that you've learned. Because when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, hear this, to put off your old self. You got to take it off. You get cleansed inside out, but you still got to take it off. Which is being corrupted. Being is a present term. Being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Why? To be made new in the attitudes of your mind. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Some of us are putting on before we have taken anything off, and then we live in this constant tension of, I don't know what's going on. Why do I keep having these desires and indulgence, and I'm not sensitive to the spirit? But it's because we've got to start taking off these things and dealing with it and understanding what they are. And then to be made new again, it's a process, and to put on a new self. So we understand all these passages help us understand the things we've got to deal with. A personal example of mine is every time I was in a relationship, I began to exhibit certain kinds of behaviors in order to make sure that it was healthy. So it was a lot of control, a lot of trying to work things out. Everything had to be good all the time. I was doing a lot of things, but they all came out of my insecurities. But it wasn't until I dealt with it that now I'm in a healthy relationship and I see things are different because I've dealt with it. I see I'm much more stable and steady in the hope of the relationship that I have. And then on the other end, I've got Elaine who's done the same thing. And we see different things that we actually don't do anymore because we realize that they were of ourselves, of our own selfish desires, of our own greed, of our own desperation. But as a result of working through it, I've seen the fruitfulness. It's not arrogant to say that. The fruitfulness is for other people to enjoy. So when we deal with these things, we begin to understand how we grow. And that comes down to a revelation. What we receive becomes what we plant. And this is important. You can't renew what you don't receive. And you can't receive what you resist. Hearing is passive and receiving is active. Now let me tell you why revelation is important. The revelation that you receive becomes what you plant, whether it's 1% of that revelation or 100%. A good example I had was when I was younger, I was working in Philly Cinemas, formerly Numa South location, 5, 10 years ago. I worked out that I could get out of trouble through a tactic. Every time my boss would pull me up on something, I would say, yeah, no worries. Did I care? No. Was I listening? No. I would say, yeah, no worries. And then that would get it off my back. And then I'll go and do the same behavior. And she caught on it eventually, where she would tell me off again. I'm like, yeah, no worries. And she looked at me in the eyes and said, James, do you understand what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, I was brought face to face to deal with this issue. And I went, yep, I hear you. I'm sorry. And that's when my behavior changed. Now, sometimes to God, we go, yeah, no worries. Yeah, good, no worries. Thank you, God. I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, no worries. Can you change? Yeah, no worries. But that becomes a revelation that we plant. When we begin to sit in that place of what the Lord is speaking to us, when we begin to sit in that place where God is speaking to us saying, I need you to deal with this and I need you to work with me on this. When we begin to sit in the reality of our actions, our behaviors, our attitudes, and our thoughts, is when we begin to understand the revelation. In Romans 12:2, it says, in verse 1, it says, in view of God's mercy. He lays down the revelation before the next step. In view of God's mercy, do this. In the other chapter, in the other passage we heard, because of the grace that you have received. Now, mercy is not receiving the punishment that you deserve. That you deserved it. But you haven't received it. Grace is receiving a gift that we don't deserve. So when we sit in that place of, Lord, I actually deserve this because of my actions, my behavior, my thoughts, my understanding, the sin that has missed the mark, we begin to understand how desperate we are for the Lord. When we begin to sit in that place of truth, of knowing that we were meant to be in the cross, but it said Jesus came and took our place. How can that not create nothing but humility? Now imagine we're sitting in view of God's mercy and then we continue to do the same thing over and over again. I remember God gave me a revelation. He said, every time you do this, you are basically nailing me back to the cross. Wow. I thought, oh man. Every time you do this, you are nailing him back to the cross. So how could I do that repeatedly without awareness? When you begin in view of his mercy, I'm desperate and I'm dependent on you. And then, as I receive His grace again, I don't deserve it. I begin to grow. Now, His grace doesn't just cover, it's empowerment. Because God is calling you here, He doesn't cover you down here, but calls you up. And that's what grace is. So when we begin to have this revelation, we begin to understand that the things we recognize, God brings revelation with us of what we can do, and we begin to plant seeds. We begin to plant seeds, and it starts to look something like this. We plant seeds of truth. We plant seeds of revelation as we understand where we are and as we understand what God is doing in us. But here's a trick. Here's the challenge. You can plant seeds that do not bear good fruit. So this is why revelation is important. I got one this morning about the passage where Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for your weakness." Where Paul's having an issue with a thorn in his flesh, and he says, you know, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my weakness, I will boast." That word weakness does not mean a moral failure. It does not mean sin when you're tempted. It actually means the things that you don't have control over. The battles that you face. The things where you need God's hand over. The trials that you have in life. The shortcomings that you are dealing with. That is the weakness where you depend on God. So sometimes we neglect that and we go, okay, God is good enough for my weakness. I'll boast in Him. And then we continue to live in our weakness. But this is not about weakness that we could deal with because we have control over those things. And I'm not saying that for you to control, but I'm saying that for you to have a revelation so you can start bearing fruit in those areas. Let us not use this as an excuse. It is about dependency on Him situationally and relationally. What we receive becomes what we plant. And sometimes we say, look, we're human. Who's used that excuse? I'm human. Don't judge me. I heard something that forever changed my perspective on this. I'm about to ruin it for you guys. He said that when people say I'm human as an excuse for our shortcomings, it's wrong. Because Jesus was fully human. Now let me flesh it out even more. We use it as an excuse for our shortcomings, but what he was saying is when we are fully human, we have compassion and understanding of those around us and ourselves. When we are fully human, we are fully in tune of our humanity. So what we need to understand, it is our flesh that causes us to have those shortcomings. It is our flesh and our desires that cause us to have greed, selfishness, all those things. So to be fully human means to be in tune with one another and the humanity that we are in. So when we have the flesh that comes in the way, we're actually less human because we're not showing empathy. We're not showing understanding. So it is not us being human that causes these shortcomings, but it's us being of the flesh. So I really want to encourage you with that because I believe that that is a revelation we need to understand that we are human, that we are not cursed with shortcomings. It is our flesh, and that flesh needs to die so the spirit can thrive. But our humanity will remain the same. So therefore, it is a blessing to be human. It is a blessing to be human. Now, as we recognize the things of our lives, and as we have a revelation of these things, the most important thing then becomes our response. How we act determines our future fruit. As it says in Romans 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is your response. To renew your mind. And it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 12, which is expanding from the passage we read earlier, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His glory and goodness, and through these has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world by evil desires. Now, that was the revelation. That's what we recognize. And this is the response, which Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort, work at it, at every opportunity, to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them are nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they had been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And I love the power of the language. If you go back to the previous verse, I was looking at some of the key words in there, and it says ineffective and unproductive. The word ineffective means to be inactive, to be lazy, to not have exercise. So basically dead, inactive. And that word is argos. And the word unproductive is a karpos, which literally means without fruit. So basically saying, if you do not do these things, you'll become inactive and unfruitful. Who wants to be unfruitful today? None of us. But if you go to the next passage, it says to you forget these things in the next one, in verse 9. For you who does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they had been cleansed from their past sins. The word means forget means to lose out of mind. In other words, to neglect the truth and revelation you've received. So some of us can receive a revelation and not do anything with it. That's because what our response is determines our future fruit. Now, no response is a fruit. It just won't bear good fruit in your relationships, in your future, with others, in your community. But good responses, effective responses, will create good fruit. Revelation is the seed. Our response is the soil. Revelation is an invitation to transformation. It requires you to step into it. Otherwise, it remains theoretical. Now, the way I see it is, you look at the garden that we have now. It should be a mixture of different things. It should be a mixture of fruitfulness. It should be a mixture of weeds that we have to deal with. And it should be a mixture of seeds that we plant as a result. Because revelation demands a shift in thinking, living, and being. If you don't believe me, the word repentance is a change of mind, which means a change of direction, which means a change of thinking, which means a change of behavior. So future fruit is based on the revelation that you receive and your response to it. And that's why this is important. Because the next thing is, we need to repeat this continuously. For it says, if you possess these things in increasing measure, your work is never done until you're looking face to face with Jesus Christ. And I'm pretty sure I'm not Jesus Christ, so we've still got work to do. 2 Peter, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add. Romans 12 says, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, living, breathing, doing as you are now, the way you are. And then he also says in Romans 12, then you'll be able to test and approve of God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So renewal is ongoing, and every day brings new challenges, new lies, new pressures, new revelations. So what do we need? Fresh truth and renewed thinking. So as we have a garden, we begin to see all the different things that we have in our beautiful garden. There's fruitfulness, there's seeds that we're planting, there's weeds we've got to deal with. And it's up to us to continuously deal with those things. Whatever you leave unattended, weeds will grow. Whatever you don't nurture will just remain. But the thing about fruitfulness is when we hit maturity in certain areas, it's not just for us to enjoy. It's for others to taste and see what is good. And this is why we need to be renewing our minds. Because renewal deepens as we recognize more blind spots, greater awareness, hidden motivations, new truths from same scripture. Different experiences and seasons. Maturity. Revelation becomes layered as he begins to work deeper in us because he can't do it all at once. So we need to go on a journey of renewing our mind. and having that obedience to respond continuously, which trains obedience at godliness. And the Greek word for renewing implies continual action. It's not a one-off event. Our minds are shaped daily by what we consumed, hear, and believe. And without repetition, we draw back to old patterns. Now, God says, behold, look at this. I'm making you a new thing. Yeah. Let me tell you this. It's not new in the sight of the Lord. It's what has always been there. But to us, it is new. Because we've been corrupted by our sinful desires. We've been corrupted by our nature. We've been corrupted by the separation from the Lord and not understanding who He is and therefore understanding us. So as a result, we need to be renewed. But that means we are going back to the original design, which is restoration. To be made perfect. And that doesn't mean polished, but it means perfectly embodying the heart of God. So today, church, are you being renewed? Are you stepping in the process of being renewed, or are you sticking to the same old patterns in your life and throwing your arms to the Lord saying, Lord, I prayed about this. Why am I still dealing with it? I saw a post the other day. He said, if you could do something, there's no point just praying about it. It's not necessary to pray about something that we can already do. I thought that was powerful. He wasn't neglecting the power of prayer, but it was telling us that we neglect our responsibility to act. If I say, Lord, let's bring people to the church and I'm not coming to church, just do it. Lord, would you look after this person? Just do it yourself. Or reach out to someone to help. And then there's a passage in the Bible where it says, if a man is hungry and you say, be blessed, you have done him a disservice. Because the fruit is for one another to enjoy. So let us act in our responsibility, but it begins with us. Renewal means restoration, and this is our responsibility. What do we recognize in ourselves that we need to be renewing? What have we been ignoring? What are some of the personality traits that people keep bringing up, and you're like, oh, it's fine, I'm ignoring that because I'm doing the right thing. When people say, James, you preach well, but sometimes you can be a bit too harsh. You can be a bit too direct. You need to learn how to soften it up so people can receive it. I said, no. This is the way I do it. This is how I am. We begin to hinder the effectiveness of what God is doing. So as I asked the question before, whenever you look at someone, you're like, man, they're so close. But there's a little too much of themselves that's getting in the way. And you might look at me and go, man, he's so close. But he just gets too much of himself in the way. Can we as a church step into the process of working on those things in grace and strength, having a perspective on the Lord of what He's called us to do, and to go, this is what I'm going to deal with today. So that in 5 years' time when we're praying for something, those issues are not going to come back up again. Let us begin to take responsibility of renewing our minds, that through prayer, through reading scripture, through obedience, and through community, which is us, let us be transformed and not conformed to this world, but transformed through a renewing of our minds. Can we all stand, church? Just going to have the band back up. I was so burdened by this the last 3 months, and I'm thinking, Lord, how do I speak of this in a way that I'm on this journey, in a way that we could respond and not reject it or resist it? How do I speak of this with such grace to empower your people, my brothers and sisters, to step into this journey, to look face to face at the issues that are plaguing their lives, that are caused by themselves and by one another? How do I get my people to understand the beauty of renewing our minds? And honestly, it's just about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just about understanding who He is, and therefore understanding who we are in Him. And then understanding that He has given us everything that we need through His divine nature to reach His precious promises for us. So my challenge to you today, it's to think about what you need to recognize in your life that you need to deal with. Addictions, sins, behaviors, traits, the way we manifest our thoughts and emotions, where we project things upon to people. What is causing us to be ineffective and unfruitful for his kingdom, for his mandate, which is to make disciples of all nations? If you haven't got anything, may you ask the Holy Spirit, or even better, may you ask one another. Is there something in me that's causing me to be ineffective? I asked ChatGPT, now that you know the way I speak, what is up with my blind spots? And it gave me an absolute download. Bit scary, but that shouldn't be a substitute for the community that we're in. What is within us that I need to get right? What is within us that I need to let the Lord in? What is within us that I need to deal with? And then start the journey. And I look forward to the day that our plans and our gardens look just full of fruitfulness with nothing besieged, just that we could walk through and enjoy. Because that is the heart of God. But today I feel like we got to do some business with the Lord. I want you to come up to the front if there is something that you want to deal with. We're going to have people stand up with you, praying with you. And I encourage you to actually verbalize it. Because it's not until something comes out that we can deal with it. And then once you realize that, you realize how freeing it is. I can now deal with it. Because I verbalized it. I put it in a space where people can look at it and go, yeah, let's deal with that. And beauty is there's no condemnation. There's only condemnation when you don't deal with it. There is freedom when you step into the truth. But it starts with the revelation of Him. His mercy that you deserve, didn't receive. His grace that you don't deserve, but you have.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.